wonderful time of worship and just calling our attention to the Lord. And as the little saying goes, Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful time of year. It's a time when family and friends take time with one another. We look forward to all the parties and programs and food and fellowship. In fact, I just really encourage you to be back out tonight, as Pastor Nate mentioned, for the choir concert. And bring some cookies to share, and we'll have a fellowship in the gym. And it's just a great way to connect with one another. And for our regulars, make sure that if you're here tonight, to reach out to the new folks. And we enjoy fellowship with each other, but let's make some new friends and reach out and encourage them. That's a great time for that, as even the message of Christmas goes forward in song. But, you know, as we think of all of these, all of this and all the parties and all the goings on and all the trappings, it's all for the express purpose of celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus, right? Amen. Well, the world has strayed, hasn't it? Christmas was established to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but it's become one big advertisement. You know, there's something different every year. There's a Cabbage Patch frenzy. I don't know if you remember that. But, you know, they were pretty expensive. In fact, right now you can get a Cabbage Patch doll. It's $70. But, man, back when they were big, they were sold out. And, I mean, it took hundreds of dollars if you missed out on the initial sales. It took hundreds of dollars to find one and buy one. And then there's someone reminded me this morning of the Pet Rocks. I mean, go figure that one out, you know. And people were buying those like crazy. And then there's the Tickle Me Elmo. Of course, now it's the iPhones and the iPads. But get this. I read this. This is a TV ad. A 75-inch 4K Ultra HD with HDR 2160p smart full-array XLED home theater TV. Man, you know, you ought to get a present just for being able to remember all of that. And then on top of that, there are the Fingerling Monkeys. Anybody have one? Anybody have a fingerling? You have missed out. They're sold out. They're $14.99 retail. It will cost you $70 on eBay to get a fingerling monkey. All right? I mean, it's just crazy how this goes. Now, I'm not against the fun. You know, I love Christmas. I love the gift giving and receiving and just the surprises that go along with it. It's a good time. But we must never neglect or forget that Jesus' birth is the miracle of Christmas. And this Sunday, I want to focus your attention on the central truth of Christmas that could easily get displaced or even replaced if we're not careful. And so my challenge to you is to do what you need to bring Christ into your Christmas. Make sure that over the next couple weeks here that you attend the services. I mean, it's a great time. We come back. We're preaching on celebrate the miracle of Christmas. That's our theme. And Pastor Nate's going to be preaching next week. I'll be preaching on Christmas Eve. We have a Christmas Eve service. And it's just a wonderful time to bring Christ into Christmas. We have Christmas caroling this Wednesday at 6:30. Meal before that at 5:30. Just all kinds of good things to help you focus on Jesus, who's the reason for the season. Here's another suggestion. I would encourage you to, at some time while before or during opening presents, that you read the Christmas story. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke 2 and just read the Christmas story and be reminded of the fact that Jesus truly is the gift to be treasured. He's the one that started all the gift giving, right? And so we need to remember that. And again, our theme this Christmas season is to celebrate the miracle of Christmas. And the greatest miracle is Jesus. Last week we looked at the miracle of the message. And the message of Jesus' birth is a message that should be shared with all. It's not to be hoarded. It's not to be hidden. God wants everyone to know of this wonderful message. We don't hide it. The church isn't some secret organization where you have secret handshakes and secret passwords or code words and closed meetings. God wants everyone to know the message. It's for all. So what's the message all about? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Last week I encouraged our FBC family to commit to telling others about Jesus, sharing, celebrating the message. And this week I want to celebrate the nature of the message. And there may be someone today that you were invited by someone from FBC, and in part they invited you because they wanted you to hear the message, which is the miracle of salvation through Jesus. And this morning's message focuses on the matter of salvation. We want to celebrate the miracle of salvation. The message of salvation. The miracle of salvation, however, is not just for the unbeliever, it's for the believer as well. Last week I said that believers need to live in light of the gospel. We need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to show the world, the people around us, that Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And it's because of the gospel. It's not because of anything that we have done. It's because of what He did in our lives and what He continues to do in our lives. That'd be a good place for an amen. That was pretty weak. We need to celebrate what Jesus did in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. All right. We need to keep this fresh in our minds. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses about 5 through 9, Peter encourages the reader to grow in developing godly qualities in his or her life. And then in verses 10 through 15, he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, these godly qualities, you growing in these qualities, if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So, here's what Peter says. Peter's the writer of 2 Peter. He says, "So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside." In other words, he says, I'm going to die soon. "But I want you to remember these things. As our Lord Jesus has made it clear to me, he says, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, after I die, you will always be able to remember these things." It's good to be reminded of foundational truths so as to make sure that the foundation is secure and the gospel is foundational to our faith. It's good that every once in a while, if you own a home, to walk around the house and check the foundation once in a while. Take a look at it. Or if you have a crawl space or a basement, every once in a while, you know, just take stock of the foundation. Make sure it's not crumbling. And if it starts to crumble, you need to shore it up. You need to give attention to that. And so it is when it comes to the gospel. We need to be reminded of these truths to shore it up, make sure it truly does make a difference in our lives. So that's a good reason to talk about the gospel today. Well, another good reason, I think, to focus on the gospel this morning is so that those of you who have made a commitment to share the gospel with others through this Christmas holiday season, so that you will be refreshed by these truths. And then share them in a fresh way. I might give you some verses or a thought that say, "Oh, hey, that's a good thought," or "That's a good illustration that I could use in telling others about Jesus." So that's another good reason to review these things as we're going to, or as we are here today. The miracle of salvation is at the heart of the message. So I remind you of another familiar Christmas passage. It's Matthew chapter 1. And take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're looking at verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. because He will save His people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah saves. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Why was Jesus born? Again, verse 21, He came to save His people from their sins. That, my friend, is the miracle of salvation. Think about it. Absolutely holy, just, pure, righteous God. And man, you, me, separated from God because of our sin. We are unrighteous. We are unholy. We are sinful. Hopeless. Separated from God forever. How could there possibly be any kind of reconciliation? How could there be any kind of relationship between God and man? God figured it out. This whole message is so very simple. And yet God worked out the complexities. And God became man. Jesus is God. Now, that may be kind of one of those obvious things to some of you. And you might say, well, why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep bringing that up? Because, well, when I was in Fort Wayne, I had a good friend. He's a neighbor. And he had been involved in mainline denominational churches. And I had the opportunity, Teresa and I had the opportunity to share the gospel with this individual and his wife. And when I said, you know, Jesus is God who became man, the birth of Jesus, he looked at me and said, I've never thought of it that way. I never thought about the fact that Jesus is God. And that is essential to understanding the gospel. And so I emphasize that here today. And I want to look at another passage. We're going to spend most of our time in John chapter 1. So go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. That drives this point home and makes it abundantly clear as to who Jesus is and the fact that He is the one who saves. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, we're talking about the beginning of creation, the beginning of time as we know it. In the beginning was the Word. You look at that, it's capitalized. Capitalized Word. What's it talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, that's why it's capitalized, because the Word is God. He was with God in the beginning. And as you read this, if you were reading this for the first time, you ought to be thinking, who's this talking about? He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It didn't comprehend it. It just didn't know what it was all about. Now look down at verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Oh, now we know who the Word is. It's talking about Jesus who came into the world. Jesus is the true light. He is the source of light. He's not a derived light. There's no other source of light than Himself. He is the genuine, essential light who gives light to every man. Now, this isn't talking about a universal salvation. He's not saying that, oh, okay, well, now everybody's saved. It's pointing out the fact that He illuminates salvation to everyone. And it's available to all who would believe. He wants everybody to know He came into the world as God's revelation of Himself. To know of this salvation. And through Jesus, this salvation is made known. And the individual who rejects salvation through Jesus faces judgment. He is the only way. the only way. He is the light. Verse 9 continues, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That's the incarnation. That incarnation means God became man. God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, became man. It's an indication of the Trinity. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He became man. And He dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He was coming into the world. Jesus was born in the manger. Therefore, Christmas is the celebration of God becoming man for a purpose. So here's our take-home thought, if you have your notes there. Understand that Jesus' purpose in coming was to provide salvation for you. That's why Jesus came. If you would just believe that He did that for you, and He died and He rose again. Christmas really points to Easter, doesn't it? It really says, you know, He came for the express purpose of providing salvation. How did He do that? He died and rose again. That's the miracle of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Apostle Paul. Now listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. In other words, you got to listen to this, folks. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The Apostle Paul is saying, I am the worst of sinners. And He came to this earth to save me, as He came to save you, if you would believe. All too often, we try to justify our sin. Oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. I'm not that bad, or whatever I did wasn't that bad. We tend to think that we aren't as bad as maybe someone else thinks we are. We are all that bad. And worse than what we think. You know, when light is turned on, right? You turn a light on. You've been in the darkness, and you turn all of a sudden, whoa! And you, everybody, oh man, come on! Oh, no, I don't like it. And then all the bugs, you know, they scatter. You know, it's like we're all like little bugs. We don't like the light. We don't like to hear what we're talking about here today. We don't like the light of Jesus. Compared to Jesus, we're rotten. We think we're okay until we're held against the brightness of the holiness of God. Because He is light who came into this world. Go back to John 1, verse 14. Look at verse 14. The Word, capital W, Word, speaking of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's break that out a little bit. The Word, speaking of Jesus, became flesh. He was born. He came out of eternity. And He arrived on the scene as human, as flesh, like you and me. He was born as a baby in a manger. His deity did not change. He was 100% God, 100% man. That's called the hypostatic union, theological term. 100% God, 100% man. I don't understand it. Can't figure it out. But it was accomplished through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the virgin birth of Mary. And He made His dwelling among us. The word here is tabernacled. He literally pitched His tent among us. He lived here. He was a baby. He grew up and dwelled among us. He worked as a carpenter and had a ministry on this earth. Dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. John says here in verse 14, we have seen His glory. John is the writer of this text. We have seen His glory. He saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, transfigured, transformed before His very eyes. He saw the glory of Christ. He could see who He really was. The glory of the one and only. Different in verse 12, the children of God. He was different as a child, as God's Son. than you and I, but because He was full of grace and truth. That's the reference to our salvation, and that He is the source of salvation. Jesus, born in that manger on that silent night so long ago, Jesus came to earth in order to save you through His giving His life by dying on the cross to pay for your sin debt, and rose again. Christmas points to Easter. You know, you think Resurrection Sunday, that's what Jesus was all about. He came to save sinners like you and me. It's the greatest message of all. John 3:16, God so loved you, you can put your name in there, God so loved the world, put your name right there, that He gave His one and only Son, that if you would just believe that He did that for you, that He came to this earth to die, was buried, and rose again, you will not perish. You will not spend eternity separated from God, but you will have eternal life. That's not my words. That's not my idea. That's what God says. And it's the greatest hope of all. No matter who you are or what you've done, God's love can overcome. For some people say, it just sounds so simple. It is very simple. But as I mentioned earlier, God worked out the complexities. How in the world could man have a relationship with, sinful man have a relationship with a holy God? God figured it out. And you just simply believe. You simply believe. Think about the worst thing that you've ever done. And realize Jesus died on the cross for, because of that sin. That sin put Him on the cross. That's why He came. He died for that sin, for you. And all the other sins you've ever thought of or committed, He died for you in your place. So that if you believe that He did that for you, you will not perish. You will not be eternally separated from God, but you will have eternal life. That's a promise from God. And for the believer, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, we have 1 John 1:9. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. We still struggle with sin because we're in this flesh, in the body. But yet, we have a relationship with God through Jesus. We're a child of God. And so, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. We don't have to walk around with that cloud of sin in our lives. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Wow. And we have a relationship with God. It's like Peter. He said, hey, if you're going to wash my feet, give me a whole bath. He says, you've already had the bath. All you need is your feet washed. Because we walk through this life and we have the crud around us. And so we need that daily cleansing, but it doesn't mean, because we sin doesn't mean we cease to be the child of God. And it's just a wonderful message here. Live in light of forgiveness as a believer. Back to John chapter 1, look at verse 11. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. He came to His own people. And they said, We don't want you. They rejected Jesus. In our culture, if I, Jason, if I come up to you and I extend my hand to you, well, look at there. Thank you. He reciprocated. You know, he received my handshake and shook my hand back. Have you ever been in a situation where you have extended a handshake and they wouldn't receive it? I have, and I'll tell you what, it's awkward. I mean, it's like I was in a restaurant one time and I saw a guy that I knew. And I called him by name and I said, hey. And I extended my hand and he just kind of looked at me like. And the waitress was standing there and she said, called him by name. She knew him as well. And she said, he knows you. And he says, I know. And he would not shake my hand. I'm standing there with my teeth in my mouth. I mean, you know, talk about rejection. Now think about this. When you're exchanging gifts at Christmas, what would it be like if someone came up to you and said, you went up to somebody and you handed, I want to give this gift to you, and they said, no thanks. not from you. Really? And I want to tell you that God is offering the gift of salvation to you today. And if you think about that in light of the gift giving and receiving, what it is like for God when people say, thanks but no thanks. Yet, verse 12, to all who receive Him, if you receive His gift, to those, how do you do that? To those who believe on His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. As you believe, you become a child of God. Children born not of natural descent. He's not talking about natural birth. He makes it clear. And in John chapter 3, He calls it being born again. He's talking about a spiritual birth, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about rebirth. Spiritual rebirth. And I would venture to say that everyone here today is going to give and receive gifts. So think about the gift of the Son. When you think about the giving and receiving of the gifts, and ask yourself, have I received the gift of salvation through Jesus? And for believers, when you give and receive gifts, thank God for your salvation. Wow! He's the one that started it all. You see, you receive the gift of you receive the miracle of salvation by believing. You turn away from your sin. That's called repentance. A life of sinfulness. Again, it makes you perfect as you stand before God. All right? That's called our position. You're born into the family of God. You receive royal blood, so to speak. You're adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. And then, as we go through this life, what we're doing is we're learning to live like who we really are. You see? And so that's called growing, just like a child has to grow to live out the family name, so to speak. It's not that God ignores your sin. He paid the penalty for your sin, and it cost Him dearly. It cost Him His one and only Son. Listen to this. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates His love toward us, toward you, toward me. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were yet a sinner, when you were unlovely, sinful, He died for you. Let's celebrate the miracle of salvation. Just think, God is willing to save you. And if you're saved, then you praise God and thank Him for that salvation and live in light of the salvation that you have received, and then be willing to tell others about it. Let's celebrate that here today. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these truths. How exciting to know that there's salvation through Jesus. The greatest message of all is the miracle of salvation. And so, Father, I pray that we would be faithful to these truths in our hearts. As believers, I pray that You would strengthen us and help us to shore up the foundation and to celebrate, to rejoice. That's why we're celebrating Christmas. But Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know You or they're not sure of that salvation, I pray that You would work in their hearts and that they would come to You this day and surrender.